Today on The Grave Talks, investigating the dead with one of the founders of Apex Paranormal, Elijah Buchholz. Apex Paranormal is based in the Kansas City area, and they offer a more unique perspective to investigations. Their team consists of licensed mental health professionals with a passion for the paranormal. They approach investigations with the intent of debunking or disproving activity, and they'll label activity as paranormal if no plausible explanation is discovered. They've investigated locations all over, and in this episode, we'll talk about the Conjuring House, a house in Texas that they consider one of the most haunted homes they've ever been in, and even a home they won't mention the name of. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll talk about investigating the dead with Elijah Buchholz of Apex Paranormal. Well, Elijah, I'm so happy that you're joining me today on The Grave Talks. You are the founder, am I correct, of Apex Paranormal?
I am. There's actually two of us. Myself and my partner, Ed Lauder, started the group. We're mental health professionals. We work together and just kind of discovered that we both had this love for all things paranormal. And so that's kind of the gist of where the group was born out of.
I love the fact that you guys both have mental health backgrounds. I just think it gives you a unique perspective on an investigation.
You know, it really does. We're used to, you know, being in a room with a stranger and getting into really deep, intense conversations. That's kind of what you do as a therapist. And so I think it lends itself to investigating. You know, we're not always getting immediate responses from the spirits that we're trying to find, but we're able to really kind of connect empathically, ask some of the deeper questions than, you know, you hear a lot of people investigating say, can you tell me what year it is? Who's the president? Is there anybody here with me right now? We try to really kind of, and not that there's anything wrong with those, but we try to delve in a little bit deeper. We try to get into the stories of a location and the stories of people. And I think that background really helps.
Now, you're based around the Kansas City area.
Yes.
I was looking at your website, and you've done some investigations from the Conjuring House in Rhode Island. I saw a place in Tennessee, Indiana, Missouri, Iowa. You've kind of been all over.
We have. So I'm going to shameless plug here. We actually have a show that we filmed called Apex Chronicles. We were connected to a streaming service, but we just got out of that contract and put our show back up on YouTube. So if you get on YouTube and look up Apex Paranormal, you'll find the show. But that show allows us to kind of travel all over the country. So we've gone to, like you said, we went to the Conjuring House in Rhode Island. We go to Tennessee. We go to Kentucky. We go to Michigan, Texas. We're kind of all over the place.
Is it hard to balance a real job, but your actual job that pays all the bills and doing paranormal investigations? Is it hard to balance all that?
Yeah,
because you're traveling.
That's fair. No, that's fair. Yeah, it really is. I mean, I like to make the joke that paranormal investigating is my real job, and this other one just helps pay for it. But it is. We have to really be kind of diligent on how we work our schedules, especially, you know, you got 4, 5, 6 people when we're filming an episode. You know, we've got more people, and you have to coordinate everybody's schedule, and it gets messy, but we make it work.
Now, I'm always interested in whoever I talk to. I'm interested in your background because all of us talking about paranormal, I talk about it all day. You think about it all day or you're investigating. You know, it's what we do. And most of us have a connection at some point in our lives with the paranormal. And what is your connection?
Yeah, it almost at times feels cliche because it's a common story. But when I was younger, mom remarried. We moved to an old farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. And I was probably, 6 or 7. And as soon as we moved in, I had experiences, daily experience. There's a little girl spirit in the house. I saw her, heard her constantly. Family members outside the home saw her, heard her, interacted with her, neighbors, friends. I mean, she was an insanely active spirit. You know, there were nights I'd wake up in the middle of the night and my closet door would be open and I'd hear her. It's a very distinctive sound of like Lego shuffling around. I'd hear this loud sound of Lego shuffling around and hear a little girl giggling, and it was terrifying. So growing up,
yeah,
it was absolutely terrifying having those experiences. But I also kind of found a sort of empowerment out of that, where the terrifying feelings turned into fascination. And so I had no idea ghost hunting was even a damn thing. Until I, you know, the show Ghost Hunters came out and was on TV, and I was just blown away. I was like, wow, you can go out looking for these things and trying to have these experiences and kind of recreate what I went through. So it's no longer a scary, you know, memory in my past. It's now this, man, this is cool. And I don't know what it is I experienced, but I have these experiences, and it's just very empowering.
And as a mental health professional, when someone is afraid of something, getting them to kind of face their fears to help them get over their fears is a thing. So that's pretty much what you did for yourself.
That's actually, it's kind of funny you mentioned it. So that's actually a therapeutic technique that we use often with phobias, or we use with anxiety and sometimes with PTSD, called gradual exposure. And what we find is it's absolutely helping somebody expose themselves to the thing that they fear. And over time, you know, you get used to it and it goes away.
With that said, I still experience the fear of it to this day, but I'm still fascinated by it. I don't know that I could go do an investigation. Was that really difficult for you when you first started doing that?
I don't think so. You know, I was old enough. I was in my, I was actually in my 30s before we started doing it. So no, that's also a partial lie, because I've been doing this thing for, you know, 10, 12 years now. And there's still times I get spooked and scared and freaked out. And it's almost part of the thrill associated with that at this point. But there's also stuff I can do now that I couldn't do 10 years ago when we first started, because it was too scary. You know, it's just, it is what it is.
So I have to ask you about the Conjuring House, since you investigated there. What was that like? Was that one of the more terrifying places? Because I just assume it has such a reputation.
Yeah, that's what we assumed too, going out to it. But it really wasn't. You know, it was... The whole trip was extremely pleasant. Rhode Island is such an amazing state. It's so beautiful. The people were so nice. They talked weird, and it was so much fun to listen to them talk. And then you have this really kind of log cabin in the middle of the woods in Nowheresville. And you wouldn't think two things about just driving past the place if you hadn't known about this big Hollywood movie that came out and really Hollywoodized the story. There were times that were spooky. I think, you know, we spent one night, we were filming there, so we stayed there several nights and slept in the house. I slept like a baby. My oldest daughter, who does this with me, slept in a different bedroom and had terrifying experiences where she heard somebody walk in the room, walk across the floor, and sit down on the bed with her. And so there was some of that stuff for me. One night we spent wandering out in the woods, and I think that was even spookier than being in the house.
When it comes to investigations, I think there's a certain need to understand the history, absolutely, because I think it helps you understand what you're dealing with. But a house like The Conjuring, it almost had a reputation preceding it. So sometimes the more you know might not be a good thing when it comes to an investigation, you know, going in with an open mind.
It can. We kind of take two different approaches. So sometimes we'll approach a location And we want to know. We want to know the history. We want to know the stories. We want to know the claims. We want to know, you know, and this part of the building, here's what supposedly happened, so that we can try to go in and possibly debunk those. But then there's other locations that don't tell us a damn thing. We're just going to go in and we're going to see what happens, and then we can, you know, compare notes afterwards. So it kind of depends on the kind of location, what our goal is for being there. That really kind of guides how we approach each investigation.
Now, what you just said about going in and kind of investigating, then comparing notes, have you had any experiences where you approached it in that way? And then it was really interesting once you compared notes. Maybe your notes matched up. Maybe they had stories that you were able to confirm that you received the same information.
We did. So we got called into a local business in the Kansas City area several years ago. They were trying to remodel the place and operate it as a bed and breakfast. And they had a hard time keeping contractors in there because they kept getting scared out. Now, they didn't, still don't want to be known as paranormal, haunted. They want nothing to do with that. They want just to be a nice big bed and breakfast location. And so we went into that place not knowing anything about it. We actually, the first time we were there, we were in that area for a ghost hunting event at another location. We said, hey, you know, we're going to be around your spot. We can come swing by and check it out. So we popped in. Within 10 minutes, stuff started happening. Very significant things started happening. And I'm a massive skeptic. Huge, huge skeptic of these things.
It's a good thing for you.
I think so. But we brought in a psychic and had her kind of do a walkthrough of the building. A lot of times when we work with psychics, we do it on occasion. I tend to be, yeah, right. Yeah, you found that on Google or Facebook or whatever. We didn't know anything about this place. She didn't know anything about this place. She did a walkthrough. So now we had our experiences that we had initially. We had this psychic's kind of walkthrough report. And then we stayed for an entire weekend and investigated there. And so then we had that body of experiences, and we put all these three things together, and then we did our research, and I was blown away. The research really backed up the experiences that we had, and just shock and awe, backed up a lot of things that the psychic said, that there's no way she could have known. She had no clue.
Was it kind of like who might be the spirits in the building?
So I'll give you an example. We had one particular female spirit that kept interacting with us. We actually had EVPs. We had what we call disembodied voices, where you hear it with your ears in real time. EVPs are voices that, you know, will catch on a device that's a digital voice recorder. Sometimes it's microphones with our cameras. We had both of those things. We used a kind of a spirit box, which is like a modified radio. It fast forwards through radio stations. You get that sound. And the thought is that ghosts can communicate through that white noise. So we used one of those. Same female came through, interacted with us. So we had consistent female who identified herself by her first name on multiple occasions. We had no idea what that first name was. When we went back and did research, come to find out, that's the lady who built the place.
Oh.
And so it was very validating for us that, you know, we caught this over several different means, several different occasions throughout the weekend. And I got that same, you know, female name, that's how she identified herself. Then we did the research and found that name in the research. It was like, holy crap.
So when you get things like that, does that make you a little bit less of a skeptic? Or do you still consider yourself a skeptical believer, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's a good term. I think skeptical believer is a good term. We could go down so many rabbit holes with this line of conversation. I, I've got, I come from a family of preachers. Mom's a preacher. My two next oldest brothers are preachers. And we have a lot of great there. And they all three overachievers have a doctorate in theology. We get into great conversations about just the afterlife and ghosts and spirits. And I've come to the conclusion, I have no idea what this is, what happens after you die, heaven, hell. I don't know anything about any of that, but I can tell you when I go into a location and I see what appears to be a person walk across the room and disappear into a wall, that experience was real and tangible. So I still to this day, you know, you think you do this 12 years, you're expecting if I go into a haunted place, haunted stuff's going to happen. I still to this day will have an experience where I'll see something or hear something and go, wait a minute, there's no way I just saw that or heard that. That just doesn't compute. That wasn't supposed to be there.
Now, did anyone else in your family have experiences in the middle of Iowa in the farmhouse you lived in?
They did. So mom and dad did constantly. My brothers did. They're a little too young to remember. I'm 9 years older than one and 7 years older than the other. So there's a decent gap between us. But they did have experiences and they do remember a couple of stories.
There are a lot of haunted places in Iowa. There really are.
It's a very haunted state.
It really is. My sister lives in the southeast corner in Iowa, and that whole old downtown area is just everything, and it's haunted. Yeah. I mean, it's block after block, I swear. So since you've kind of been traveled around, and then I do want to come back to the Kansas City area, but are there any investigations that you did that really surprised you, that you weren't expecting much, got a lot, or you were expecting a lot, didn't get much of anything? Just some investigations that kind of maybe or even changed the way you looked at investigating.
So I will tell you, we have one episode that's still tied up with the streaming service that our show is on. And it's an episode that we filmed down in Texas. And it's just a house. It's not even that big of a house. It's a house. But everyone we talked to said, most haunted place in the country, it's this place. And so we went ahead and decided to go down there, and we were going to film our show at this place. And, you know, we talked to the owners a little bit, and the owners I thought were just kooky and weird. And we did our first night of investigating there. Nothing happened. And I thought, the whole team thought, man, this place is a joke. I don't know what everybody's talking about. This is silly. It's made up, you know, just weirdo owners. The second or third night of the investigation, things took a turn. And man, early on in the evening, things took a turn and they kind of spiraled out of control. I can tell you that two of my teammates both ended up running out of the house at one point from activity that was happening. We then at one point in the night, we're sitting in kind of our little nerve center and we're trying to figure out, what do we want to do? Do we have enough on camera? Let's put the cameras away. Maybe just kind of investigate on our own just for fun. Should we pack everything up and head to bed? Should we, you know, what should we do? And while we're having this conversation, through the speaker, we hear this loud voice yell, "Get out!"
Oh, you just gave me goosebumps.
I bet if I played it for you right now, you would be able to hear it. It was so loud and so forceful and scared the living hell out of us. And I never expected anything like that out of this place. So I then walk out. I know what room. It came from this room where there's supposedly an evil entity in this room, and that's the room this thing stays in, that we thought was baloney, and we debunked everything. And then turns out this guy was just quiet and started acting up. So I go out, I yell up the stairs, and I say, all right, listen, we heard you say get out. Fair enough. You want us to actually get out. You say it one more time, we will pack our things up and we'll leave this house. Otherwise, we're planning to sleep here again tonight. We caught 5 more times the same voice saying, get out. So we packed up.
As you said, you left, right?
Oh, yeah. We got the hell out of there. We have only been ran out of a location one other place, one other time before that. And I was just, we were flabbergasted. I mean, we were like, okay, we got to go.
And were the people living in the house at the time? Or, I mean, maybe not, they might not have been there that night, but did they actually live there?
No, it was a husband and wife. And the only reason I feel comfortable saying I thought they were weird and kooky is because I did until this stuff started happening. And now I'm like, okay, all right, they know what they're saying here. Is a husband and wife duo, and the wife refuses to even go back in the place. It's too much for her. So the husband's kind of the caretaker and does everything now.
And had you left that first night, you would have left thinking, yeah, they're kooky, they're weird, there's nothing. We were there the whole night, not a thing happened. But yeah, by staying exactly. more than one night, you were able to confirm what they were saying.
Well, I'll tell you, we questioned a lot of people because we had some quality sources that told us we need to go there and film. We had cast members of Ghost Hunters. We had cast members of Haunted Towns. We had... you know, very people we consider to be legit great paranormal investigators all saying that's the place you need to be. And so after this first night or two, and we're just like, these people are nuts. Everybody's crazy. What is going on here?
And that episode is caught up in the streaming stuff. 'Cause I would like to see this.
Yes. Yes. That one is unfortunately still stuck on the streaming service. Hopefully before too long, we will be able to pull that off and throw that one up on YouTube also. But
can you watch it though on a streaming service? Is there a place we could go?
You could. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That one is, it's on Paraflix.
Okay. So check that out. 'Cause I think that would be insane. After you heard that get out, you can't be confused in any way after you hear that. I don't even know that I could have asked for them to say it again.
That's maybe that skeptical believer piece.
I'd have been out. I'd have been before, like, let's pack it up.
Before we even heard that voice, half of us were ready to pack up and leave from the experiences of the night. And then that happened and we were all ready. Do you want me to try to play this for you, Claire?
Yeah, see if we can hear it.
Without a doubt, you'll be able to hear us. Okay, here we go.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, yeah, seriously, I just felt goosebumps. They started at my shoulders, went all the way down.
It's very clear. And we had cameras all over that place. There's no way it could have been anything else. It was directly into the audio that we put in that room. We had cameras everywhere. I mean, there was no way to debunk it. There was no way to fake that. It was just insane.
Ooh, and at that point, I don't know about you, but I might have been thinking, oh, I don't know that I could do another investigation after that.
No, we questioned a lot. Well, here's how dumb my team is. They're now asking to go back and film a part two next year.
They are asking to do it part two?
Yes, we have to plot these things for the show. We plot things pretty early on. So we're starting to look at locations for next year that we want to film at. And that is like number one on the list. They want to get back down there and film a part two.
How do you feel about that as just a regular guy? Like, is that something that you were like, yeah, I'd do that? Or was it more like, can I think about that? I'm not so sure.
I'm up for it. I'm kind of the one on the team that does some of the scarier things. So I'm up for it, but I'm also kind of rolling my eyes at them because I'm thinking we're going to drive all the way down there, set up this whole, you know, filming thing. And the last thing I want is for you guys to then get scared off again. And we got to pack up and leave in the middle of the night.
And I have this theory. I don't know if I'm wrong or right because it's hard to prove anything. You'd have to go with your gut. But I think that they remember you. And it just seems to me, if he insisted that you get out and you guys come back, you know, does he remember that?
Or I'm sure.
Do you think it was a former owner of the property, or do you think it was something darker than that? Because that sounded really scary.
I don't know. We would definitely have to investigate again before I would even be comfortable answering that. I can tell you hundreds and hundreds of investigations that we've done, we have only been to one place that we feel there's something dark there or evil or whatever label you want to call it. And we won't go back. It's been, man, we used to investigate that thing every year. And once we finally had enough and realized what it was, we haven't been back in, you know, probably 4 years or so.
Can you share where that place was? Not comfortable.
I don't want to say the name. I will tell you it's a house in Atchison, Kansas.
I know the one. I bet I know what you're talking about.
And I'm sure that's enough to identify it.
Yeah.
There's a reason I don't want to say that. This thing has followed us around. So it has shown up in Tennessee. It actually showed up at the Conjuring House. It showed up at the Conjuring House in Rhode Island. It showed up several different places. It follows us around. We actually just had another big issue with the last couple of weeks where team members were starting to have some really bad nightmares, waking up in tears, all related to that location. And so I'm very hesitant to say the name, especially I'm doing this from home.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. I totally understand that. Do you have any theory in this? You might not. Why Atchison, Kansas is so haunted? It just seems like there's a lot of haunted homes there. Heck, if you just look at the pictures, you could say that's a haunted house. They're almost like classical haunted house looking.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And this may get me in a little bit of trouble, but I'm okay with that. Most of the stories around that house are made up.
Okay.
And they were made up by a former mayor who really wanted to boost tourism and thought that the paranormal was a great angle to go and made up a bunch of stories about that house. And the city themselves is the most haunted town in the country. That place, and then there's the McIntyre Villa, that's, you know, 5 minutes away from that place. That's absolutely phenomenal and insanely haunted. Those two are great locations, but I think the reputation has been built up a lot more than it is. I can tell you there is not a little girl at that house. The story about the little girl was made up. The story with the couple that lived there, I do think that there are some truths to that, but I also believe that that's semi-embellished as well. I think what has happened there is I think somebody brought something in through irresponsible investigating.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about investigating the dead with Elijah Buchholz of Apex Paranormal. In part two of our interview, we'll talk about more haunted locations, including the Valeska Axe Murder House. For more information on tours and paranormal investigations, go to spiritsofbluesprings.com. For more information on Apex Paranormal, visit theapexparanormal.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes. Thanks for listening.